I'm interested in something very basic, and I believe that when there's failure in our lives personally,
it is a breakdown of the basics. I believe that. I've met with people, I've counseled with couples, I've counseled with individuals, and I found this to be true. Go to the basics and you'll find your problem. Amen. One of the first things I ask people when I'm counseling with them or dealing with them is, tell me about your devotions. And 100% of the time, there's been a break. Well, preacher, I haven't been doing that lately. Amen. A breakdown of the basics. That's where the devil attacks us, is the basics. Because the basics are the foundation. If he can chip away and put cracks in your foundation, what you're built on, what your faith is built on, what your spiritual life is built on, then he's got us. And so I want to deal tonight just of some thoughts about our devotions, the importance of our devotions. I mean, that's basic, that's elementary. But like I said, we would probably all be blown away with shock right in RBT how many people that do not have a daily, consistent, spiritual time of devotion spent with God. I'm talking about right here. You'd be shocked how many people that are in this church. Amen. You'd probably be shocked how many in pastors across the land, evangelists across the land, that don't even have a time they spend with God on a daily basis. Amen. One of the greatest enemies, of course, to that is busyness. Amen. That's getting so busy. I've got to hurry up. I've got to make these calls. I've got to go make these visits. I've got to get this accomplished. I've got to hurry up. I'm running late for work. I've got to get up for school. I've got a test. I've got this and that and the other. I've got yard to mow and trash to take out and turkeys to kill and everything else. Just busy, busy, busy. Fish to catch, cabinets to build, all these things. And before you know it, you look around and you got dust that deep laying on top of your Bible. And your prayer ground has got mold on it. Amen. And probably if busyness don't get you, just being cold in your heart. Just being cold in your heart. Because I tell you this right here, when I'm not right with the one that wrote it, when I'm not right with the one that it's wrote about, I'm going to tell you, when I'm not right with him, I really don't want to. There's not a drive in me to want to read his love letters to me, to read his word to me. Come on now. That's right. And usually if I'm not wanting to read what he has to say to me, then probably I'm going to not want to go in the prayer closet and say much to him. Closeness is crucial in our devotions. If I'm going to talk to him and him talk to me and me enjoy it, amen. It's not mechanical. It's not a rut. It's not a routine. It's a pleasure. It's a delight to my soul. Then I need to be right with him. Amen. All right. 1 Peter chapter number 2. Look back in chapter 1 rather. This is what sets the pattern for the scripture. Look in verse 23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. How many sees in that verse of scripture the absolute essential of the word of God as it is used to produce the new birth? It is the incorruptible seed that brings about the new birth. Right? Okay. I just wanted you to see that. Then verse 24, for all flesh is grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth and flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. I've got a, Brother McCarrick, I've got a line drawn from that word endureth forever up to verse 23, abideth forever. And I also made a connection between verse 25 and 23 in that the word of God that liveth, that abideth forever, that liveth, I like that, that liveth and abideth forever. It's the same word of God in verse 25 that endureth forever. And that same word of God in verse 23 is what brought about my salvation. My salvation is no better off than the seed that produces it. But anyway, look at chapter 2, verse 1. Wherefore, laying aside all malice. Wherefore means in light of the fact that that you've been born again, that the word of God did a work in your heart. Amen, bringing about the new birth. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, comma, verse 2, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Verse 23 of chapter 1, y'all go ahead and be seated. Some of you are tired of standing, but chapter 1 and verse 23, you find where the word of God gives life. But then in chapter 2 and verse 2, you find where the word of God grows your life. Amen. In verse 2 of chapter 2, these are not babies being born. These are babies that have been born. And they have a desire that comes with their birth, comes in with their life. They have a desire to feed on the very things that will grow that life that their birth had given them. Amen. Amen. So, but the spiritual application is found in the words as newborn babes. We ought to be able to relate to that. All of us in here ought to be able to relate to that because we once were one of those and we've all been around little babies. Buddy, I'm talking about when they come into this world, minutes, sometimes not even minutes old, they're screaming their head off and it's not because they're in pain, they're hungry. My wife calls it that biblical cord had been cut. And that's what those little babies inside the womb fed on. They fed through mama. Well, now that they're born, they've got their own life. Amen. And the cord's cut. They've got their own life. And they've got a diet. They've got a desire to feed. Amen. And you start feeding that baby. Why? It starts a growth process from the day that it's born. Actually, before it was born, there's a growth process already taking place and will continue to do so until that life expires, until that baby has grown up and has went on to heaven. Amen. And so it is with you and I. We got saved as newborn babes. We desire the sincere milk of the word. Why? Here's why. That you may grow thereby. Listen, right here it's very plain in this scripture that everybody that's saved as newborn babes, that's all inclusive. Everybody in here was once that, right? That's an all inclusive term. As newborn babes, listen, desire the sincere milk of the word. Why? That you may grow. I'm seeing people all along in my 35 years of preaching, I'm seeing people that say they are saved, but they have no desire to grow. I want to stop just right there and deal with that. I wasn't planning on it, but I feel like I need to. Amen. Everybody that's born of God, which is necessary to go to heaven, right? I mean, nobody goes to heaven that's not born of God. If you don't have the divine nature of God in you, amen, then you're not saved. If you don't have the Spirit of God in you, you are not saved, according to Romans chapter 8 and verse 9. But where is that desire from the new birth
all the way through that gives you where you want to grow. Where you want to grow. If you had a little newborn baby in the physical realm, Brother Randy, and he's had several, say amen right there. But there was no growth, you know. Say one of his youngins, you know, they're like this. Let's say Miss Elizabeth here. You're what, 16? I'm going to embarrass her good. What if she was still about this long? She's 16 years old. Instead of driving the car, she's like this right here. You can carry her, you know, and rock her. You'd say, oh, there's something wrong with that. That's not normal. Amen. Why? Because growth is expected. Growth is a part of having life. When God gives you life, He gives you enablement to grow as a Christian. Amen. Never, listen, do not trust a profession of faith that does not grow you or gives you a desire to grow as a believer. Amen. Amen. That's right. And we have people in this building tonight that have been saved at various lengths of time. Maybe this fellow right here, I think 3 weeks. I've been saved 35 years, some maybe less, some more. But you know what comes in with that? It's a desire to grow. A desire to grow. Amen. Just like with the physical birth. You know, you come in, as a little infant, You are a specimen of weakness. You can't feed yourself. You can't take your own bath. You have no sense of direction. You don't know which way to go. You're in a new world. Say amen right there. And you have all of these things going on in your life. You're having to 100% depend on other people. If other people don't care for you, they could lay you aside, and if they left you there, you'd die there. You could freeze to death, or you could die in the heat. Amen. But that don't go all the way through your life. Amen. I'm seeing stuff here I need to preach. Amen. Listen, others, when a newborn babe comes into this world, and I'm talking about spiritual, as newborn babes, there's a parallel. Other people does everything for those babies. Cleans them up, feeds them, takes care of them, amen, puts up with their whining, and all of that. So it is in the spiritual realm when there's a new birth, when somebody's born again, there's got to be a rallying of other people to take care of that newborn infant because they have no spiritual direction. They don't know how to feed themselves. They don't know what's right and wrong. They're in a new world now. They're making a change. Amen. So they need people. I never seen this till the other day. I was actually preaching it when I saw it, but I never mentioned it because I wanted to wait and give it to you. But I thought I was going to preach on it as a whole message. When Jesus went to the tomb of Lazarus, it's going along with what I'm dealing with right here. The Lord just showing it to me. When Jesus went to the tomb of Lazarus and told him to roll away the stone, and he speaks the word, Lazarus, come forth. Lazarus, bound in grave clothes, bound, you know, like a mummy, comes out of his grave. I don't know if he floated out. I don't know if he hopped out. I don't know how he got out, but he still had the grave clothes on. All right, now watch this right here. Jesus said, come forth. Lazarus came forth. He had life, but it was limited. He had life, brother, but he was limited in what he could do. And here was something I'd never seen. Jesus said, loose him. He's talking to somebody. Jesus didn't need no help to give life, but he needed assistance to get him loose. And so when newborn babes come into this world, amen, they come in this world, I'm talking about spiritual babes, come in, they need people. They need a church family. They need a Sunday school class. They need a pastor. They need some spiritual adults, amen, that to rally in there and to give some help to those kids, to those newborns. Amen. To teach them what's expected of them from the Bible as a newborn Christian. Amen. Amen. A person just left out there alone, a little baby left out there by themselves physically, they'd die because they don't have anybody to take care of them. Amen. Spiritually, when they're born again, when a person's born again, he's got to have somebody to help him. He's got to have somebody to give him some instruction from the Word of God. You see these young people taking notes in the church and other people taking notes. They didn't used to do that. I mean, they've not done that always. They've not done that always. There was a time that they needed to be loosed. There was a time they needed a limb, probably. I don't know. Amen. Alliteration. Limb, loose, lunch, love. Yes, they needed that. Amen. But they need assistance. But anyway, the point of devotions, the importance of devotions in your life is to grow you. God knows, listen, God knows that he can't use you in his service unless you grow. God wants you to grow. Do you want to grow? Can you look at your life over the past 6 months, 8 months, no, surely no more than a year. Look at your life as believers, if you've been saved that long, and see growth in your life. Do you see growth in your life? And listen, growth is a lot more noticeable when you first come into this world. Them little babies, they grow inches overnight, seem like, and start putting on ounces overnight and then pounds overnight and more pounds and then more pounds, amen. And then later on in life, you're trying to get them pounds off and all that. But there's growth. You grow quickly at the beginning and then you start growing more slowly toward the on up in age. But still yet, you ought to be able to see that you're growing. Amen. About the palm tree we mentioned this morning, the righteous shall flourish like the palm tree in Psalms 92. Did you know the palm tree will never outlive its usefulness? It bears fruit as long as it lives. As long as it lives, it's bearing fruit. In fact, it states in my study, I found out that the palm tree bears the most delicious part of its fruit bearing age is when it's the oldest. How many people says, "Well, I'm done past that stage, you know. We'll just let somebody else take over, and I'll just kind of coast in." No, I want to be like Caleb. I want to have that spirit that even though 80 something years old, if I live that long, I still want to have that great drive in me. Give me this mountain. Give me that mountain. I want to have great spiritual aspirations. I don't want to give up. I want to encourage the senior citizens or the young at heart, as we call it around here. I want to encourage them to not give up. You are important. You are instrumental. And when you speak, we listen. When you sing, if you would sing, we would listen. And we would enjoy it and we would get blessed. Amen right there. Not making any personal application, Sister Betty, at all, but amen. How many's been blessed by Miss Betty singing? I'm not my... Well, hey, I've heard her sing right over there, buddy, that I would not be denied. Ain't that right, Theus? Amen. The Lord's giving you a word. You feel it? Are you receiving it? Amen. You've been waiting on leadership. You just got it. Right in the middle of anointed preaching, God got personal with you. Amen. But it said, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Grow thereby. So God wants us to be growing. And God's not going to do much with immaturity. See, that's not just growth, physical growth, you know, visual growth. That's also growth in maturity level. Amen. We've got some young people, they're not big physically, they're not tall. Physically, they're not old. Physically, but they've grown spiritually, and they've learned in their life how important it is to have this Word of God in their life. Amen. And God will use you. But He won't use you if He can't grow you. And God grows you through His Word. Well, I didn't mean to spend that much time on that, but I tell you, that's where we're at. We're needing that. Verse 3, if so be that ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. If so be that you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Another passage, it talks about, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Amen. Let me just say a few things. I'm not going to be able to, I really wanted to deal with an outline such on devotions, and I've had great liberty thus far, amazingly, and I praise God for that. And what I thought was going to be one message, maybe God wants us to break it down and just take some time, and some of you don't maybe need to hear preaching on it, far as instruction of how to and why. You just maybe need to be scotched up and encouraged that, hey, you are doing right. And those times that you're tempted to lay the Bible down, those times you're tempted to vacate the prayer closet, you know, maybe just a little shot in the arm on devotion, preaching, amen, might strengthen and stir you. Amen. Listen, just a few things here quickly. If I just were to ask you a question tonight, don't answer it out loud, but answer it in your heart. And just ask this simple question. Do you have a personal and private time with the Lord daily? What would your answer be? Then if I ask you a second question, is there any realness of God in your secret place? Is there any realness of God? Does God get real to you when you're spending time with Him? And I'm going to be honest with you tonight. But me, you, any of us, all of us, if we are saved, if we've been born again, and I believe growth proves that. I believe having life proves that. You can't be saved and not have life. Say amen right there. And how many people does that eliminate, Brother Fultz, in our churches that claim to be saved? Where's life? Where's that spiritual life at? Amen. Life proves that you've been born again. The conception of the Word of God, the conception, well, amen, I might as well just hang in there. I see something else. The conception of the Word of God proves that you're saved. Life proves that you're saved. You and I are born physically because there was a conception of a seed. Right? The conception of the seed that brought me into this world was from Don Rackley. I have, in through my birth, I have his DNA in my life. Everybody knows by my birth who my daddy was. I'm 50 whatever years old, amen. That's a shame, and I'm having to start putting the hum on the end of the, you know. I'm having so many birthdays, I really have to, there's times I have to count. Okay, that's enough. Am I still 55, or am I 58, or 57, or 52? You know. And Brother Scott, my dad's been gone a few years now, but you know what? I still have his DNA. I have his name. Right. All of that came through my birth at the conception of that seed. Y'all, you know where I'm going. Right here is the seed that was conceived in you, chapter 1, verse 23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. Listen, the people ought to know who your daddy is by the fact that seed And all of the DNA of that seed, listen, oh yeah, come on now. Everything about me was in that seed at the moment of conception. Everything. What the color of my eyes would be, the color of my hair, what hair I still got, amen. All of that. Amen. And even that is comes because Daddy had that. Brother Fultz, where it just started, you know, some of it was wavy. It was waving goodbye and stuff. Some of it was turning gray. Some was turning loose. And I'm having that. I'm seeing that. You know. I mean, I was riding down the road the other day, and I just looked up in the rearview mirror, and the way I've got it adjusted, I can see part of me when the view goes by me. And the way I had my mouth made, fixed, something, I'm telling you, Brother Craig, I thought I was looking at Daddy. I thought, under God, there is Don Rackley in this thing. And since that time, I've noticed it several times. Just look in the mirror, not trying to do anything, just being natural, letting my nature just do. And I see resemblance in a lot of areas with my daddy. I mean, things that I'd see him do, I'm now seeing myself do. That's been a long time ago that his seed was conceived and I was born. That's been a long time. And I still bear the likeness, I still bear the image that matches the seed. Right here's the seed that produces the new birth. Hello, amen. And I promise you that if you have been born again, there will, listen, the DNA of your daddy, our heavenly father, is in you. His nature is in you. His spirit is in you. His life is in you. His likeness is going to be in you. How many times you see me when you say, Miss Candy, I know she's probably said to Logan and Cameron, you act just like your daddy. Have you ever told them that? I'm prophesying. Have you ever told them that? Yeah. What about that? So you act just like your daddy or act like your mama. God help them. Amen is all I know. Say amen right there. Why? How is that? Did you have to go to copy daddy school? Did you have to go sit in a act like daddy class? No, it's in your DNA. It come in with your birth. And so it is spiritually, buddy. This word of God right here, when you're saved, this is the incorruptible seed that produces that life, gives you that new birth. And there, amen, oh yes. And you ought to be a walking testimony of who your dad is. There ought to be a resemblance. There ought to be a resemblance. I've looked at some, watched some walk, and I mean, Lord help us. There goes the youngin', but they're walking just like Daddy. They've got maybe a special little walk. I mean, right here, just a good example. I mean, not to get personal or nothing. I mean, you don't have to pull no birth certificate out on this woman. Because right here's her daddy. And buddy, sis, I've heard you say they're alike, just alike. She's nodding her head. I mean, even if I didn't know who her daddy was and didn't even know that she looks like him, God help her, or him. God help you, brother. Amen. But she walks just like him. I could just about walk like him, you know, but I ain't going there. Amen. Because I don't have the DNA in me. I don't have that seed in me. Praise God. Hey, amen. The Lord has been good to me. Amen. Anyway, we ought to be walking like Him. We ought to be living like Him. We ought to be looking like Him. We ought to have the same desires, amen, that the one that conceived us and produced the birth has got. Well, amen. I hadn't thought none of most of that, but here, amen. Let me give you this right here. I'm going to be done. I don't know how long I've been preaching. 10 minutes. You say, preach, can't tell time either. Here, listen to this. These are some sayings that I wrote down about devotions. It is in the secret place or closet that you get to know God. It's in your personal time that you spend with the Lord. That's where you get to know God. Spending time growing up with Daddy enabled me to get to know Him. Amen. I'd have probably never got to know Him with experiential knowledge if I never spent time with Him. And you know what was a blessing? I wanted to spend time with Him. I wanted to spend time with Him, and you know what? You know what I seen? He wanted to spend time with me. Work like a dog all week, but He'd still take me hunting or fishing or something. So small, I couldn't even wade a spring, much less a creek or a river, and my daddy would pick me up. The current would be trying to just sweep me down the creek, you know. We'd go trout fishing, and he would just pick me up. He'd have hold of my hand. It wasn't my grip. It was his grip. He'd just pick me up. And sometimes he'd just pick me up and carry me. Sometimes he'd set me on his shoulders, and I'd grab him around the head, and here we'd go across the top of, I remember going across the top of the High Falls down in North Carolina. I thought, Daddy, you're going to kill us right here. I was on his shoulders, and he was wading across. I'm talking about right across the top of the High Falls, and if he had a slip, I'd have been gone. My whole life in survival was resting upon Daddy. If he slips, I'm gone. But if he don't slip, I'm going to make it. And he never slipped. Thank God. Why? Because he'd been through there before. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm glad my heavenly daddy's carrying me tonight. And I'm glad I know, Brother Aaron, that if he slips, I'm gone. But he neither slumbers nor sleeps, and he don't slip. Thank God. He's sure-footed. Amen. He knows what needs to be done. Well, amen. But it's spending time with him. It's where you get to know him. This book will come alive when you get to know the author of it and the one it's wrote about. I wrote this down. The secret place is the secret to the spiritual life. Your spiritual life, you being spiritual, will be mechanical. It will be burdensome. It will be, boring. It will be difficult. If you don't spend time with the Lord. If you spend time with the Lord, amen. And I believe if we want RBT to come out of the slumps and go to another level, it's when God's people individually, young and old, start spending some quality time with the Lord and loving on Him, spending time at His feet and loving on Him. You get to know Him. And this book will come alive, and your devotion time won't be methodical and mechanical and pathetic. It'll have life and realness and richness to it. The secret place is the secret of the spiritual life. I wrote this down. The secret place of devotions is the thermostat that determines your spiritual temperature. Amen. And I wrote this down. We ain't gonna like this one, but it's true. It will be no secret if you have no secret place. Or you can look at it the positive. It will be no secret if you do have a secret place. Because God says, if you go in that closet and you spend that time with me, God is saying, the Father which seeth in secret shall do what openly? Reward thee openly. Openly means publicly. It, you can't keep it a secret if you have a secret place and a time spent with God or not. Well, I don't have time, preacher. I just really don't have time. If you get sick tonight, will you have time to go see a doctor? I'm talking about sick, sick. Well, you say, I don't have time to get sick. I don't have time to get sick. No, you'll make time to deal with that. Amen. Something happens, we, you know, have a car wreck going home. Something happens. Listen, I don't have time to have no wreck. I don't have time for that. But if something happens, we say, hey, we're putting everything else on hold. We got to deal with this right here. We make time for what is important. We make time for what's demanding in our life. We make time for those things. Amen. If we, and I don't mean to bring up this carnal analogy, but if we were to spend a fourth of the time in having our face in the book as we would do on Facebook or Instagram or Flickr or whatever all those things are, amen, we'd have revival. Amen. There's a lot of people spends a whole lot more time reading newspapers than they do reading the Word of God. They spend more time looking at commercials and YouTube and all kinds of things, more so than in the Word of God. And then we wonder why our spiritual life is gone south. We wonder why God is not walking through in dress parade at the house of God. Well, amen. The secret, as the secret, as your secret devotion, private devotions go, then so goes your life. To be little in the closet is to be little out of the closet. Oh, yeah. You will never be much for God until you are much with Him. Well, we never even got started, but I feel like that God is challenging us and speaking to us. And I need it. You say, oh, preacher, you the preacher, you the pastor, man, you've been preaching 35 years and you preached all everywhere and all this stuff thousands and thousands of times. You've been, listen, that don't matter. Brother Craig, I can say this, devotions is probably, definitely as important, if not more important to me, for me, than anybody in this building. And you ought to feel the same way. Amen. Because there's been many times, Brother Aaron, that my own study, my own devotions, my own time spent with the Lord has been what's carried me in the storm. That's what's carried me when the bottom was falling out. That's what's carried me. Amen. God help us to get back there. And if you're still there, listen, praise God. Use this tonight, and if the Lord leads us to deal with it further, that'll be good too. But if you're right there and your devotions is A number one, and even you've got everything going on there, listen, just take this as an encouragement. Keep at it. You're doing right. Don't lay it down. Don't let dust get on the Bible. Don't let, amen, don't let your prayer, your trail to the prayer ground grow up. Amen. These are basic things. But I believe this, and I've seen it, and I've said it already tonight, that that's usually where we mess up is when we let the basics, we get slack in the basics. And the basics are essential.
God bless you. Thank you for visiting Rogersville Baptist Temple's website and for listening to this message preached at Rogersville Baptist Temple.